Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Co. Ltd. third quarter 2022 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, to Mrs. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's third quarter 2022 earnings conference call. The company's results were released early today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Jian Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
受到原材料成本高企、市场生产基地限电、地震等诸多不利因素影响下，我们仍取得了超预期的业绩。三季度总出货量约10.9个吉瓦，同比翻了一倍，总营业收入约27.4亿美金，同比增长了约127.8%。我们不断完善供应链管理，以加强对成本的管控。随着N型新投电池产能的释放， 我们的一体化产能结构不断优化，更具竞争力的N型产品出货环比有显著提升。三季度的盈利水平环比有所改善，三季度的毛利率约15.7%，相比于二季度的约14.7%，净利润约7730万美金，同比增长约183.1%，扣除 可转债和期权费用的影响，经调整约利润6010万美金，环比提升约16.1%。
We are pleased to announce better than expected results for the quarter despite a number of headwinds, such as a continued rise in raw material prices, power rationing measures at our manufacturing facilities, and an earthquake in Sichuan province, where one of our manufacturing facilities is based. Total solar shipments in the third quarter were roughly 10.9 gigawatts, doubling year over year. Total revenues were US$2.74 billion, an increase of 127.8% year over year. We kept improving our supply chain management to enhance cost control. With release of newly invested N-type cell capacity, we further optimized our integrated cost structure. As shipments of more competitive N-type products increased significantly compared with the second quarter, profitability in the third quarter largely improved sequentially. Gross margin was 15.7%, compared with 14.7% in the second quarter. Net income was US$77.3 million, an increase of 183.1% year-over-year. Excluding the impact of the convertible senior notes and share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income was US$60.1 million, improving 16.1% sequentially.
四季度以来，硅料逐步释放，中国市场需求旺盛，受到非水可再生硝钠指标的激励，各层的保障性地面电站项目和市场化地面电站项目进展迅速，叠加分销市场需求，四季度中国市场的装机有望达到40吉瓦以上，供需两旺的局面支撑硅料价格在高位维稳，近期组件签单价格也相对平稳。随着2023年硅料产能的大幅释放，预计原材料的价格的下降将会刺激大量需求的释放。我们会充分把握市场增长的机遇，一方面坚持全球化布局的策略，加强对关键市场的资源投入；一方面通过完善的供应链体系，控制合理的周转库存，凭借完善的全球产业链建设和产品力优势。我们有信心实现明年出货量和市占率双增长。
Since the start of the fourth quarter, polysilicon capacity has been gradually released. Demand is strong in the China market, encouraged by non-hydro renewables consumption targets, both provincially guaranteed utility-scale projects and utility-scale projects in the liberalized power market are making rapid progress.Adding the demand from DG market, we expect that the total installation in China will be over 40 gigawatts in the fourth quarter. While supply has increased recently, strong demand is keeping polysilicon prices steady at a high level, and currently module prices remain stable. With substantial polysilicon capacity to be released in 2023, we expect the prices of raw material to fall and to stimulate pent-up demand. We will fully seize the growth opportunities in the market, executing our globalization strategy and enhancing resources input in key markets. Also, we will control inventory turnover at a reasonable level with our efficient supply chain management.Leveraging our extensive global industrial chain building and our reliable products, we are confident to achieve increases in both shipments and market share next year.
依托我们在 N 型研发技术和量产经验的积累和不懈努力，三季度我们在 N 型提效降本方面取得了进一步的成果，以蛮长的16吉瓦 TOPCon 电池量产效率达到了25%。硅片减薄、电池凝耗降低等持续的技术进步和工艺改进，推动 MPET 化成本差距不断缩小。近期，我们的 18N 型高效双晶硅电池的实验室转化效率达到了26.1%，突破了今年四月创造了25.7%的记录。结合在 SE 平台上的工艺优化。明年量产效率会进一步提升。
We made further progress in efficiency improvement and cost reduction for N-type products, thanks to the continuous efforts of our R&D team, expanding on our accumulated knowledge and our mass production experience. Mass produced the efficiency for TOPCon cell as we reach the full capacity of 16 gigawatts, reached 25%,and we are narrowing the gap in integrated cost for N-type compared to P-type products. Recently, the maximum solar conversion efficiency for our 182 monocrystalline silicon TOPCon cell reached 26.1%, breaking the record of 25.7% we set in April this year.Combined with process optimization with SE technology, mass production efficiency is expected to further improve next year.
受益于 N 型产能的释放和客户的接近度提升，三季度 N 型组件出货约3个吉瓦，环比增长了160%。我们一直贯彻与客户共享发电争议的理念，随着 N 型的产品优势 渐入人心，我们有信心凭借 N 型产品的渗透率提高和高性价比领先于行业。
Benefiting from a capacity release and higher client acceptance, shipments for N-type modules were up roughly 3 gigawatts in the third quarter, an increase of nearly 160% sequentially. We have always been committed to sharing the benefits from the gain in power generation with our clients. As our N-type products continue to be well received in the market, we are confident to lead the industry with increasing penetration and cost-effective performance.
产能方面，三季度投产的合肥二期八吉瓦 TOPCon 电池产能目前正在顺利爬坡。三季度开工建设的尖山二期十一吉瓦 TOPCon 电池产能将在年底前投产。新产能的投产和释放预计有望持续优化我们一体化产能结构，推动综合成本的下降。结合公司的经营策略和市场需求情况，我们调整了硅片、电池和组件产能的扩产节奏。到年底，单晶硅片、电池、组件的产能预计分别达到65吉瓦、55吉瓦和70吉瓦。
The second phase of 8 gigawatt TOPCon cell capacity in Hefei, which commenced the production in the third quarter, is ramping up smoothly. The second phase of 11 gigawatt TOPCon cell capacity in Jianshan, which started construction in the third quarter, is expected to start production before the end of this year. Initiation and ramping up of new capacities will help further optimize our integrated capacity structure and drive blended costs lower. Based on our operating strategy and market demand, we adjusted the pace of capacity expansion for wafers, cells, and modules. By the end of this year, we expected our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 65, 55, and 70 gigawatts respectively.
话题交给杰娜之，我来介绍一下业绩指引。2022年第四季度组件出货量在13到15个吉瓦之间。我们看好全球市场需求的增长，并致力于不断地以技术创新和可靠的产品为客户提供最优的解决方案。我们上调全组件出货量目标在41.5到43.5吉瓦之间。
Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the fourth quarter this year. We expected module shipments to be in the range of 13 to 15 gigawatts for the fourth quarter of 2022. We are bullish about demand growth in the global market and dedicated to keep in providing optimal solutions to our clients with technical innovations and reliable products.We expect that the full-year module shipments to be in the range of 41.5 to 43.5 gigawatts.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Despite short-term headwinds such as power rationing measures and earthquake in Sichuan, total shipments in the third quarter were 10.9 gigawatts, of which approximately 95% were module shipments, doubling year over year.On the back of a strong global demand. In specific market, China, Europe, and the emerging market contributed remarkable increment growth. Solar module shipments to the Chinese market during the third quarter increased 5 times year over year, while emerging market grew approximately 180% year over year, and Europe over 60%. With a rush of installations in China in fourth quarter,The Chinese market is expected to contribute an absolute majority, and we expect our penetration in the Chinese market to further increase. EG demand was strong in Europe, however, slow logistics turnover, inflation, and labor shortage during holidays remain short-term challenges. We accelerated inventory turnover through proactive coordination with logistics supply,as well as flexible methods and trade terms in order to support energy transformation in European market. In terms of the product, we enhanced the promotion and the sales of our high-efficiency N-type Tiger Neo modules leveraging our global marketing network layout and the localized marketing team. In the third quarter, shipment for Tiger Neo modules approached approximately 3 gigawatts, an increase of 160% sequentially. Acceptance from various client types and markets for the Tiger Neo further increased. The premium was in line with our expectation. We have been establishing a business model to share the benefits from the gain in power generation by Tiger Neo modules with our clients, and are committed to providing them with solutions that continuously bring down LCOE. With gradual release of N-type capacity and increasing acceptance for Tiger Neo, shipments and the penetration for Tiger Neo continued to grow in the fourth quarter. And the shipment proportion for Tiger Neo is expected to be about 60% of our total shipment in 2023. For business layout, DG demand remains strong in some markets, including Europe, emerging markets, and China. And DG business accounted for nearly 60% in the third quarter, about 10% higher than the last quarter. We expect the market demand to continue to increase in 2023, up over 30% year over year. Mainstream markets, including China, Europe, US, are expected to contribute the growth. Under the backdrop of high prosperity in end markets, we will stick to our strategy for global market layout, focusing on Chinese market while enhancing attention to and explorations in emerging markets. We will strive to achieve around 50% growth in shipment next year compared to 2022, and keep solid position for global competitiveness. With that, I will turn the call over to Pat.
Thank you, Jenner. We are pleased to report another quarter of improved financial results. Total shipments doubled and total revenues increased by 128% year-over-year as a result of strong demand globally. Thanks to our further optimized integrated capacity structure and shipment mix, key metrics including gross margin, operating margin, and net margin all improved sequentially. Short-term headwinds such as power rationing measures and an earthquake, as well as new capacity ramp-up, all had some impact on profitability in the third quarter. We believe that as these negative factors gradually recede, we will see a gradual increase in profit contribution from additional release of N-type capacity and an increase in shipments proportion of N-type products. Let me go into more details. Total revenue was about $2.7 billion, up sequentially, and a significant increase year-over-year. Gross margin was 15.7% compared with 14.7% in the second quarter this year and 15.1% in third quarter last year. Total operating expenses were $423 million, slightly down sequentially and up year-over-year. The year-over-year increase was mainly attributed to an increase in shipping cost for solar modules. Total operating expenses accounted for 15.4% of total revenues in the third quarter, down from 16.2% in the second quarter this year, and up from 13.8% in the third quarter last year. Excluding the impact from a change in the fair value of the notes and the share-based compensation expense, adjusted net income attribute to Jinko Solar Holdings ordinary shareholders was $16 million, improving sequentially. During the quarter, we continued to optimize our foreign exchange hedging. We realized a net foreign exchange gain, which including change in fair value of foreign exchange derivatives, of approximately $73 million in the third quarter, compared with a net gain of $34 million in the second quarter of 2022. Moving on to the balance sheet. At the end of the third quarter, the company had cash and cash equivalents of about $2.1 billion, slightly down at the end of the second quarter this year, and up from 1.1 billion at the end of the third quarter last year. AR turnover days were 69 days in both third quarter and second quarter of 2022. Inventory turnover days were 117 days in the third quarter, compared with 104 days in the second quarter this year. Total debt was about 4.2 billion at the end of the third quarter, up from 3.8 billion. Net debt was about 2 billion compared with 1.7 billion at the end of the second quarter this year. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 and 02 to cancel. The first question comes from Brian Lee from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. This is Grace on for Brian. I guess first one on your capacity, just given the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, a number of your peers announced U.S. capacity expansion. So I just wonder what's your strategy there in the U.S., if any, and how are you going to fund that, and what's the implication to your free cash flow? Thank you.
I think you're talking about the IRA, right? The impact on our strategies or capacity expansion in the United States. I think it's from the company perspective, based on the initial assessment of the IRA Act, we believe this is very, positive, and the incentive is very, significant, and to make the, the production, local production in the United States, relatively competitive. We are aware, and the details of IRA is going to be released in Q1 next year. So we are very closely following up the details. And as you know, we have a very small module capacity in the U.S., 400 megawatts, and we are optimistic. And after we, the release of the details of IRA, and it's possible, we expand our module capacity in the United States, but at this stage, we are, still in the evaluation stage.
Okay, fair enough. And then maybe switching gears to your gross margin, it's encouraging to see you print 15.7% this quarter. You mentioned it's helped by the module shipment. So I just wonder how much of your margin is helped by the N-type shipment module versus the currency, because I assume a lot of your operations is in China. And also, can you talk about your margin and ASP expectation for the next several quarters? Thanks.
We improved the margins slightly, I think, in this quarter, quarter over quarter. And we delivered the 3 gigawatts, N-type TOPCon modules, which accounts for around 30% of our total shipments in this quarter. And the gross margin for the N-type is relatively higher than the P-type. I think it's around, 2%, from the gross margin perspective. And on top of that, as, the prepared remarks by David and Lee, and in the third quarter, we faced the power outage in the Sichuan province, which has some negative impact. So, we think the end time, we are very, we're leading the industries from the product, from the efficiencies, and as well as the cost perspective. And our penetrations, penetrations on the end time will continue to improve quarter by quarter, which will help us to drive the, the profitability increase, including the gross margin.
Okay, thank you. Can I squeeze in one more housekeeping question? You increased your module and wafer capacity. So what's your CapEx plan for 2022, and what was your D&A in 3Q? Thanks.
Thank you for question. The CapEx of this year, we still keep the $3 billion U.S. dollars.
Okay, thank you. And the D&A for 3Q?
So your question is D&A the absolute number or percentage or what is your specific regarding?
Thank you for your question. About G&A expenses, it takes about around 4 to 5% of the total revenues.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question comes from Philippe Chen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. As a follow-up to some of those questions, was wondering if you could talk about CapEx expectations for 2023. By the end of 2023, how much wafer, cell, and module capacity do you think you'll have? Thanks.
By the end of this year, we have 65, 55, 70, gigawatts. So I think we have sufficient capacities, and we are in a very good positions, and to deliver our results next year, and we will continue to evaluate the market conditions of next year, and we are I think the markets were optimistic for next year, so our investment will continue to focus on the N type. I think cell and module capacities and next year, and to build sufficient capacity for both next 2 years, our shipment guidance. So it's we are going to release, I think, the guidance capacity expansion next year, in the next quarter, and the key focus will continue on the N type. The top count, the cell and module capacities.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. What's after TOPCon? I'm imagining you guys are already thinking about it, with 60% N-type next year. Do you think you're going to move on to heterojunction, or have you decided on the technology roadmap beyond TOPCon? Thanks.
We are leading the TOPCon technology and on the capacity, on the product, let's say the efficiencies, and we believe there's a significant room to continue to deliver further high quality products based on the N-type TOPCon technology, and our R&D teams has released the laboratory testing and the efficiency will reach to 26.1%, and our target for the mass production efficiencies by the end of next year will be reached to over 25.7%, and we have technology roadmap and we strongly believe that the N-type the TOPCon will dominate, the markets in the next 2 or 3 years. So that the TOPCon is our focus. But from the R&D perspective, we closely monitor the HJT, the BC technology. But we strongly believe the TOPCon, is a trend.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Ken. In terms of the U.S. market, you know, the UFLPA enforcement and the CBP process that you're going through. I was wondering if you could talk about and give an update as to where things stand. My understanding is the process has come to a close and you're waiting on a decision. And so how much longer do you think we need to wait? And also, let's say you get released soon. Does that mean you can freely ship into the U.S., or do you think you have to secure something like an advanced letter of ruling to be able to freely ship into the U.S.? Thanks.
Yeah, we did a lot of work, you know, under the UFLPA, and, you know, the standard is very, you know, very broad and a challenge, you know, for the traceability systems. And we prepared documents and have several rounds, you know, discussing and communication with CBP. We think, you know, our documentations are ready and waiting for the final, you know, feedback from CBP. And you know, we are optimistic for the results, but the detailed timing, you know, it's still uncertain, but I think it's not so far. And for your second question, it's after the, you know, the release of the, let's say, detained, you know, the modules, and we try to improve our internal efficiencies and try to, you know, to continue to communicate with CBP to make sure, let's say, the bottleneck and will be, you know, will be departed. And now it's, you know, it's a lot of, you know, internal, external, you know, factors, including the capacities of CBP, have the impact on the, you know, the efficiencies. So we don't know, you know, what will be the, let's say, the inflation sources in the future. But I think after the learning curve, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months, we think that it's going to be getting, you know, more and more smooth.
Okay. Charlie, can you talk about how many gigawatts of supply has been impacted for you since the first detention at the end of June? You know, between then and now, end of October, and then let's say it continues through the end of the year, what kind of number can you share? How many gigawatts? I know that the detained modules are smaller. I'm talking about the total impact to customers. Are we talking about 2 gigawatts or maybe even more? Thanks.
You know, you're right. The detained module is very small, and but because of delay the process, right, it's going to have rolling impact to the shipment to our U.S. customers. And we estimate this year, whole year, and our shipments in the U.S. Will be around 5%, and which is, you know, the original, I think the planning, you know, from the beginning of this year, it's 10%, so you know, roughly, I think, a significant impact.
Okay, 5% of the 44 or 40 plus gigawatts, roughly two gigawatts. So, correct me if I'm wrong, of course. And then one last question for me in terms of the growth for next year. I think, Jenner, you talked about a 50% growth that matches with your year-end module capacity, roughly. Can you talk about the geographic mix you expect? You know, how much, for example, are you expecting for the U.S. in 23? And then what do you think is the rest? How much will China be, Europe, emerging markets? Thanks.
So, Jenna, would you like to take the question? Okay, I think Jenna is on the trip. And let me, you know, answer the questions. Incrementally, we think, you know, next year, and the China will dominate, you know, take maybe 40-50% from the incremental value, the volume. And the second one is the U.S. and the European markets. But U.S., we don't believe
it's demand, you know, concerns. It's purely the supply, you know, issues, including the potential impact from the UFLPA. And we believe the U.S., you know, if everything is smooth and maybe 40 module demands and over 30 gigawatts, you know, the installation. And, yes, so that is, you know, and, but, you know, this year because of the policy is very high, the module price is high, which delayed, we believe, a lot of, you know, utility scale projects installations. And next year with the bottleneck, you know, the polysilicon gun and the production volume will significantly increase, and which will have a very good, you know, timing for the utility scale developers to buy the modules and connect to the grids.
Right. Thanks, sir. So just to put numbers on it, so let's say China is 40 to 50%. Do you think U.S. is 15 to 20 and similar with Europe?
Yes, and, you know, from the incremental perspective, you know, we think, you know, I think you are talking about the incremental, right? We believe the total market size...
Sorry to interrupt. Just let's say it's 65 gigawatts, you know, next year of shipments. What you said 40 to 50% of the 65 would be China. I'm just trying to figure out what percentage of that 65 might be Europe and U.S.
Oh, okay. You mean the incremental, right? You know,
it's not necessarily incremental. It's not the increment. Yeah, just
okay.
Of the 65 gigawatts, how much would be U.S., you know, maybe 15% or 5%. I mean, assuming you're able to flow the modules freely. Thanks.
Okay. Let's say the total size, you know, this year maybe 250, right, the installation, you know, the solar, and next year maybe 320, or maybe some analysts think, you know, it's 350. And we believe China will take around, I think, 35-40% in the market share, and the U.S. will take around, I think, 10%. European will be around, 20%.
Mm-hmm. Great. Appreciate the caller. Thanks for taking all the questions, Charlie. I'll pass it on.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, please press 01. The next question comes from Alan Lau from Jefferies. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, and congratulations for the extremely good results. So we'd like to know what is the outlook of the gross margin in the next quarter? As the company has maintained 10 gigawatt of N-type shipment, so in Q4, can I expect there will be around 6 to 7 gigawatt of TOPCon shipment?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have capacity, I think by the end of this year, 35 gigawatts. So you're right, if you do the calculations quarter by quarter, and our shipments, I think, you know, Q4 will be around 5 to 6 gigawatts, and Q1 next year will be a little bit higher, you know, next year, Q1. And the gross margin, you know, it's, you know, because of the N-type, we'll take the more percentage in Q4. On top of that, and China will take, you know, more market shares, more shipments in, you know, Q4, and as well as you know, the RMB depreciations, you know, we believe there's a potential, you know, potential to the gross margin will continue to expand.
Thank you. And then another question is, the company has realized around 3 gigawatt of TOPCon sales in 3Q. So, and also the company has mentioned it has reached the expected premium. So is it around RMB 10 cents of premium for the 3 gigawatt that has been sold in Q3?
The price premium around, you know, 7-8 RMB cents, and given after the consideration the cost difference and the profitability, you know, per watt basis, the N type is relatively higher than P type by 4 RMB cents.
Understood. That's quite a lot actually. Okay. In terms of net profit, right, for 4 cents higher.
Sorry, could you repeat your questions?
So 4 cents in terms of net profit, right, for the TOPCon product.
Yes, yeah, right. Higher. Yes. RMB for cents,
RMB,
you know, per watt.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And so I've noted that the company has raised the TOPCon shipment in 2023 from 50% to 60%. So what makes you raise the guidance, and should we expect a higher net profit for next year because of this increase?
Yeah. We, you know, we will continue to invest in type TOPCon module capacity next year. So based on our initial, you know, evaluations, we think we are able to deliver around 60% N type, you know, TOPCon module next year. And with relatively, you know, more the TOPCon modules, we, you know, more mix to TOPCon modules, we think, you know, the profitability will relatively, you know, with more percentage and more higher profitabilities from you know, for the total results.
Thank you. And I think my last question is regarding to the partnership with the equipment provider Octowell. So are they selling? Do Jinko Solar, let me put it this way. So has Jinko Solar benefit from the partnership with them by having more competitively priced equipment?
I think you're talking about the module equipment producers, right? The Octowell.
Yeah,
right?
But they are producing the Octowell, and they are selling crystal growing equipment to Jinko, and
yeah,
what I heard is the price is cheaper, right?
It's you know, we also invested, yeah, as a minority interest, you know, for the you know, business, and I think the volume is not very big, and it's major for the R&D purpose, and we want to, you know, have more development on the technology and align with our suppliers to make the equipment more advanced, and particularly for the N-type, you know, the N-type, you know, the wafer production.
Understood. So thanks a lot, and once again, congratulations to the company, and I'll leave it now. Thanks.
Thank you.
The last question comes from Rajiv Salgari from Saro Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have two questions. One is on shipping costs. And we know that shipping costs have come down very substantially in the last 3-4 months. And actually, they are close to the levels they were at before COVID started. And I'm wondering, whether you have, you know, when we will start to see that in your numbers, how soon will those be reflected? and when that gets reflected, can we expect that shipping costs can go from 6% of revenues to maybe 3% of revenues? So that's my first question.
Yeah, you're right. And the global economy is weak, right? And the shipment cost in the recent, I think, 2 months, the index has dropped a lot, you know, quarter by quarter, year over year. And it's going to be very positive for starting from the next year. But for this year, starting Q4, I think the impact is not so, you know, the positive impact is not so significant, because, you know, we have long-term arrangements with logistic companies, and the long-term contracts, the price is already, below the market price. And with the market price dropped a lot, and the expectation of next year is continue to be back to our normal, you know, standards compared to a couple of years ago. And we will renegotiate the long-term arrangements for next year. And that is going to be, have the impact for next year.
Okay. And Charlie, the second question is about polysilicon cost. Can you give us your best guess or your best sense right now, judgment right now, on when you expect polysilicon costs to start to come down and what rate they will come down in 2023, for example? You know, what do you think polysilicon cost might be by the end of 2023? And then related to that, what is your plan for sharing the benefit of this cost reduction with your customers? You know, you had mentioned in the last call that that on the N-type, you are sharing the benefit of the N-type 50-50 with your customers. Are you planning to share the benefit of polysilicon cost reduction also 50-50 with your customers?
This is a very complicated question. And, but we strongly believe the trend is there. And a lot of, you know, the polysilicon capacity has been, you know, ramping up in the last 2 or 3 months, and the polysilicon volume will increase month over month dramatically, and next year there are sufficient poly, you know, capacity and the volume to support the total demand for next year. And now the polysilicon price is flat, and we see some, you know, potential, the polysilicon price will be, you know, in a downward trend, you know, starting from the December. But we're not sure, but I think the trend is there. It's very difficult to estimate what is the exact timing, right? And for the term round of the poly. And from our perspective, we try to have more signed orders for the next year, and particularly with our strategic customers. And some of customers, they may have, you know, intentions and to have the price adjustment mechanism. And we think it's a win-win situation. And based on case by case, we will negotiate with different customers.
So can you give us an overall sense then that if price of polysilicon comes down by X number of cents, on an overall basis, how much of that you would pass on to the customers and how much you would keep to improve your own gross margin?
It's not very simple case. And some customers, we have fixed price. Some customers, we have variable price. And with, you know, some mechanism, when, you know, index to the, you know, market price or some, you know, it's different case by case.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have a new question from Robin Jiao from Y2 Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, management. I would like to know what percentage you expect your fourth quarter shipment will be shipped to China, because I can see that in the third quarter it's around 40-something percent, maybe close to 50. So what do you expect in the fourth quarter?
You know, China will take a very large market in the fourth quarter. You know, by the end of the year, a lot of utility scale developers, they have strong, you know, pressures and intentions to start and connect the grids. And we estimate in Q4 we will have, you know, in the China market around, I think, you know, 50% to 55%.
Okay, so do you think that the domestic increasing COVID control could be a challenge, or you've already well prepared for those kind of domestic SOE developers for their project demand?
There are some challenges, you know, because of COVID, you know, situations, and I think the challenge is the logistic perspective. But we are seeing some improvement, and you know, in some regions. So we think there are sufficient time, you know, by the end of this year to deliver the modules as scheduled.
Okay, thank you. For the next question is about the TOPCon and TOPCon product. So in the third quarter, where do you ship those products? Where is the major market for this product? Is like in Europe, U.S., or mainly in Chinese market?
You know, the majority part is Europe, and we also have shipments in China, in, you know, the Latin America and Asia Pacific. It's good, yeah.
So basically, maybe most parts sell in China, and then basically everywhere you have some like a product demo for the global users.
No, it's not product demos, and we have, you know, promoting the products starting from last year, and you know, it's a significant shipment and to different markets and. European market is you know, it's very big, and following that, there are, you know, shipments to different countries and regions, including China, Latin America, and, you know, Australia, etc.
Okay. My final question is regarding about the upstream supply other than polysilicon. So do you think that the quad fan material could be a bottleneck going forward in 2023 for your internal wafer production?
So what kind of bottleneck materials you are talking about?
Quad fan, Xinsha.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, it's you know, this has been talking about a long time, and we think it's it's a little bit tight, you know, for this particular materials, but it still can support over, we believe, 500 megawatts. And, you know, and because on top of that, you know, there are capacity expansions. I think there are over next year maybe 90,000 tons, you know. And from a technological perspective, and we think, you know, it's feasible, you know, to use more percentage of domestic produced materials and other than the imported materials. And, you know, it's more like, you know, the impact is, let's say, the efficiency is cost perspective other than the volume perspective.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'll pass on.
We have no further question. There is no more question.
Okay, thank you, everyone. So we now end the call. Thank you. Good night.
This concludes today's call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.